Friends. Again. How many of us have them? Isn't that a song? How many of us have them? Friends.
Let's be friends.
Hey. Okay. But more importantly, how many of our friends really have our backs? Sometimes we call people our friends, but they no longer fit the title. So we fire them. Let them move on.com. It's not easy. It's not fun. And baby, it can get messy. But nonetheless, at the end of the day, firing a friend could be what's best for both of you. I've done it. Jennifer's done it. And so has Taylor. We've had to reconfigure friendships throughout our lives. And while sometimes we lose a friend or they lose us, we've also had some beautiful experiences hiring, that is, making new friends. From WBEZ Chicago, this is When Magic Happens. I'm Cheryl Jackson here with Jennifer Shaylove Bowers and Taylor Coward. Each of us has had to evaluate where we place people in our lives and kick some to the curb because, as Queen Bee says, when you play me, you play yourself. And one thing this CEO is not in the business of is being played. So we're digging into friendships, recognizing the signs when they're not working, the breakups, the retirements, the healing, and the new friends we make along the way.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
Girl, have you ever heard of a relationship audit? Have you done it? You haven't? You haven't heard of it? What about you, Taylor?
No, I don't think I've heard of that either. What is it?
Well, you know about audits, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Financial audits, fiscal audits, you take stock of where you are and to see if there's any money missing, okay?
If anything is misspelled.
If the math is mathing, okay? If stuff is adding up, and if it's not, then you have a problem and you go and you straighten it out, okay? So relationship audits are the same. It's when you take stock of the people in your life. Me family. Be friends, friends with benefits, but all your relationships. And you take stock of that and you evaluate, reflect on what's working, what's not working, where you want to spend more time, invest more time into the relationship, into the people, or where maybe it's time to cut your losses. It's time to end that chapter. So I think it's always best at the top of the year, whenever you, you know, kind of reflect on your life, whether it's, you know, at the top of the year with the new year resolutions or whatever. But it's always a good opportunity. And the reason why I like linking that as you contemplate your goals for the year, because the people and the relationships in your life will have a direct impact on how far you go in life. And so it's a good time to evaluate those two together.
How often do you do these audits?
I like to do it intentionally. At the end of a year, going as I prepare and set goals or intentions for the new year. But sometimes when stuff is just, you know, messy.
Yeah.
You know.
I think mine happen after
it gets messy.
Something has happened. I think that I do audits when maybe something has happened and I'm like, wait a minute, I got to reevaluate real quick.
Right.
But I see you have a more like calculated approach.
Yep, more proactive.
Okay.
You know,
we're entering the new fiscal year.
entering the new fiscal year. Okay. Whatever that fiscal year is for you, June, the middle of the year, the first quarter, the third quarter. But at the top of the year, it's when it feels right. Because, you know, they say you can tell where how far a person will go in life by the company they keep. So what about you, Jennifer?
Well, now that you say that, I think maybe I don't do it as intentionally, but I think I really kind of go with my intuition. So like I have this saying that people are in your life for a season, a reason, or a lifetime. And I think, you know, sometimes I can sense when that season is ending, you know, or when, you know, you are in a situation where you've outgrown that person. And then there are people that are just always in my life, but they are not always like, for example, I have a friend who is she's been in my life forever since I was in middle school. And we don't talk every week. We don't talk every month. But when we do reconnect, it's almost as if no time has been lost. And we essentially are just picking up where we left off. And so I guess what I've come to realize is that, you know, thinking about it that way, people are always evolving in and out of my life. You know, it's always very cyclical. Like it's maybe not centered around a specific moment, but I'm just open to when they are supposed to be in my life and when they're supposed to transition out of my life.
How do you know when a friendship is no longer working? You know, what are the signs for you?
Well, for me, I think I can feel it, you know, like, for example, I have a friend who we were really in kind of the same place in terms of what we were experiencing. And, you know, we were helpful and symbiotic to each other during that time period. But once we evolved out of that and we were able to grow and move into another place, into another phase, we outgrew each other.
What happened? Did you guys stop talking to one another? You just...
It wasn't like a fight, but right. It was just like, I think this season has passed for us,
right.
You know? And so now it's time for us to move on to something different, you know? And it wasn't dramatic or anything like that. I think it was something that we probably both felt and we just kind of moved on.
Yeah, I hear you. So it was just, you know, sort of kind of a low grade tension of friction and nothing dramatic, but you knew something was off and it didn't resolve. And so you just decided to quiet quit. Is that what they're calling it now?
Yeah. A soft
I like that.
Exit.
Quiet quit.
Quiet quit.
Yeah. Cause we didn't really, I think we wanted to talk about it, but we didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a quiet quit. It was just kind of like, we both know this has reached its expiration date.
Yeah.
I prefer that probably over a blow up, you know?
Have you ever had a blow up?
Actually, yes, I have.
Okay. Oh, good. Tell us.
Let's hear.
I want the details.
It actually was with a male friend, and he said something I didn't enjoy. I think he maybe even called me out of my name.
Ooh.
Salsa did fly in the air, I have to say. I had a bit of an Aries moment. He caught me when I was putting dip on my chip. and so we didn't talk for like 2 years. And our birthdays are maybe like a week apart. And he just was like, we need to put this to the side. Happy birthday, girl. How you doing?
Oh.
And I was like, you right, dude. How you doing? You know? Like, and I think that like sometimes the way that you leave a relationship, it kind of leaves the door open for there to be a comeback from it.
Right.
So we didn't talk 2 years, like stone cold, didn't talk. And so we were able to grow separately, go live our own lives. He has like a real job now. Like,
right.
We like did things and we came back more mature and could let it go. And then like a quiet quit, we didn't blow up.
Right.
So one day we could see each other and be like, let's just forget it and go to coffee. You know what I mean?
One day you can you can reach out and say, hey, big head.
Yeah.
Because you know that's the sign for
how you doing?
We good, right? We good, right? Hey, big head.
Funny.
Term of endearment. You know what? I have a problem. I'm challenged in this area. I like to collect people. I don't like discarding people. I don't edit. You know,
well,
I don't
like you here already.
Right. Yeah. You know, that was foul. Yeah. Okay. Whatever.
Yeah.
And so here's the thing. So there's I have had dramatic, like this is the end, maybe one or two, you know, we're breaking up kind of friendships, conversations. Cause generally I think people like to avoid conflicts, which is why
they
quiet
do.
Quitting.
Yes.
But here's the other challenge is that, you know, you pretty much know when you have the big blow ups, they kind of take care of itself. Mm-hmm. You know, you're done or the clear tensions. But it's the unresolved stuff
Yeah, that's
the worst.
Yeah.
And it's I liken it until I liken it to your cell phone. You know how you're opening apps and just keep opening apps, but you never swipe
you're
up to close
them.
Not quitting. And it's just draining your battery in the background.
Wow.
That's what those kinds of friendships do. They just low-key drain your battery.
Yeah.
And I think auditing your relationships, taking, you know, being intentional about reflecting on the quality of the relationships in your life, allow you to be intentional about where I want to put my energy. And let me just, even if it's just emotionally or mentally, like, okay, let me put this relationship either to the back burner or let maybe quiet quit. Or, you know, if the other person doesn't agree to quiet quit and they want to constantly know what's going on, then you have to have that conversation. But it allows you to emotionally move on, and it creates space for growth and relationships that are a better match for where you are.
And, like, that just kind of had me thinking about how social media has really skewed the friendship landscape. Because it's like what you're mentioning is what people should be doing for the friends they interact with, like, pretty frequently.
In real life.
But, like, the internet kind of has blurred the boundaries of who is a friend. Do you know what I mean? If you added me on Facebook, you were technically my friend. Like, I'm doing air quotes right now. I know this is an audio medium. And it's just like, I think that boundary is getting blurred, especially for my generation and below.
Yes.
Because it's like, take stock of the people that are on a social media account. Do you know what they do for work? Where do they live? What's their brother's name? You know what I mean? Like, I could sit and think of a couple people that I think I know pretty well. Couldn't tell you if they have siblings. That's not a friend, you know?
Right.
And so I think we have to watch for that, like, who we are calling our friends. Do you think that's your friend because you follow each other? And just really being intentional about what a friend is. And
so your generation, they are they really looking at people on social media that they've never met in real life as a close friend or
you know,
as a friend?
Like I...
Because I don't... That's not my generation.
I think I
Me
do.
Either.
I know, like, I have met people at, like, a party or, like, a one-off thing, and our relationship has been maintained solely through social media. Like, I was just talking to someone that I met for a day, and, like, I do really like her. We had a good time that day, but we also go back and forth with each other on social media. Like, we hype each other up. We check in. I congratulate if she got a job, things like that.
Right.
And so now that could translate to, well, let's meet up sometime. Okay. You know, like, if she comes into town, I'm going to meet up with her. And then that can turn into, like, a old school type of friendship. And so I think social media, one, the benefit is that it allows you to connect with people that you might not otherwise have been friends with and allows you to maintain a connection. But then the disadvantage could be you think you're my friend just because you get to see parts of my life, but I don't really know you.
Right.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
Ask Curious City anything about the Chicago area. Yeah, anything.
My dad was reminded of a cafe on Sheridan called It's Here. So I was wondering if there's any information on the folk music scene in Chicago then and now.
Send your questions to wbez.org/curiouscity. And it could be the focus of a future episode.
Are there milestones, life milestones, where we naturally outgrow friendships? And what are those milestones? Like for you... Going from college into real life.
Right.
Have you outgrown? Who was your ride and die in high school or college? Have you outgrown some of those relationships?
You know, friendships? Fortunately, I didn't have a whole lot of outgrowing. It was mostly we got busy or you moved. Like, you're on the other side of the country. I'm on this side of the country. And so that makes it easier to use something like social media to stay in contact. Because it's like nothing went wrong. We just don't go out and get our nails done together anymore because we don't have that proximity.
Right.
But like, yeah, luckily I haven't felt very often of like, I am beyond this. Like, right. I have, you know, because I know that is hard. It's happened a couple times, but it hasn't been with like core friends.
Okay.
So I think that that's been good. It happened a lot when I was younger.
Oh, really? Talk about that.
You know, just like, we don't do the same activities anymore. You don't want to do the same things that I do. Mm-hmm. You don't have a desire to do the things that I want to do. And so I think that was a part of like my tweenhood, mm-hmm. was like realizing that my childhood friends may not end up being my teenage friends or my lifelong friends like I expect them to.
Right.
And nothing bad about that.
Yeah.
But it just, that maybe was my outgrowing stage.
Jennifer, I think you've got a few stories in you about outgrowing friendships. Care to share? We won't tell nobody.
Okay. outgrowing people doesn't always mean that you're eliminating them, you know? Sometimes it just means that you are separated for a little while and you find your way back to each other. Mm. You know, like I just actually recently had that happen where one of my friends, he was kind of going through, like he was going through a big transition, you know, and mm-hmm. he's trying to kind of figure out what he wants to do. Right. And he needed time to process that and to independently kind of go down this path of figuring out like, this is what I need to focus on to move forward in this thing that I'm trying to accomplish. And sometimes you have to do that by yourself. And it means that you are separated from your friends for a little while. And I do that occasionally too, where I like to say, you know, to my friends, like, I'm going to be quiet for a couple months, or I'm going to be quiet for a month, you know, just to try to figure out how I'm navigating this next cycle. But I know that there's also like this core group of people that you always come back to, you know, and mm-hmm. and to me, that also is an indication of true friendship, you know, is that, hey, listen, we are always going to be friends, but I also am sensitive to the fact that you have this path that you're on, and I'm going to be supportive and I'm going to be there. And when you are quiet, I know why you're being quiet. I'm not taking that personally, you
Amen.
Know?
Amen.
Yeah. So I think just as much as maybe I eliminate, what I would also say is I also neutralize people, where
what's that?
She kills them.
Tell you.
Right. She euthanizes them.
Involves the CIA, the FBI.
She
Girl, what
blows
is that?
A poison dart.
Well, you know, I am Superwoman, so I got to neutralize.
You got to neutralize.
No, neutralize just means I don't give them any energy. Oh, you know, yeah. I don't. And when you get nothing, you don't know where you stand. I'm just functioning. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm just operating. And I guess in those instances, I don't even feel the need to explain, mm-hmm. you know, because it's reached a point where it's not even worth explaining.
Look, you know, movedon.org. I know.
That's right.
Yeah. Movedon.org. You know, they say the opposite of love isn't hate. It is indifference.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So here's my little story mm-hmm. about growing apart. The most important friendship in my life, the most important friendship in my life,
mm-hmm.
Was my husband at the time.
Mm-hmm.
We met in college, freshman year. I mean, he was 16, I was 17. We were children. We grew up together. And we were mm-hmm. really just best friends. And just watching us grow apart was hard.
Mm-hmm.
It was hard, but you just can't even stop it. You can't. It just is life.
Yeah.
And then you have to yeah. decide what you're going to do with that. Or maybe sometimes it's decided for you. But that was the hardest, that mm-hmm. just began to devolve or evolve in different directions. It was, we grew apart.
And I think that's very poignant what you said. You can't stop it.
Can't stop it.
You just kind of got to let it happen.
And that's a good segue to the grief of losing a friend.
Mm-hmm.
You can't stop it. It happens. How do you deal with that pain?
I don't know. Because it's like, friends, you share secrets with friends, mm-hmm. you share memories with friends. And I have like so many memories that I've done with other people that when I think back on them, it has a bit of a tainted feeling to it because there's this person attached to it that I no longer mm-hmm. am around. Like, despite the circumstances of us not currently being the type of friends we were before, there still is some sort of sting because I'm just like, things just aren't the same, right. you know?
Right. Mm-hmm. Have you felt that, dealt with that grief, Jennifer, of losing a friend?
So, okay, I've lost a friend, like, who has, you know, in two ways. Lost a friend in just no longer being friends, but also lost a friend in that she passing away, you know?
Mm.
And I think, you know, when I think about in that instance in particular, that's probably one of my biggest life regrets is she actually, I went to spend time with her. She was diagnosed with cancer and it was an aggressive form of cancer. I went to spend time with her and, you know, maybe a couple of weeks later, I was just dropped the kids off at school and was like, you know what, let me call her. Oh, you know what, let me do this thing and then I'll call her later. I'll call her later this afternoon. And later that afternoon, I was like, oh, you know what, I'll call her after I pick up the kids. And then I said, I'll call her after dinner. And I called her after dinner and her phone went to voicemail and the phone rang. It was from her phone. And I was like, hey, you know, and she was like, hey, Miss Jennifer, this is, you know, this is my friend's daughter. Mm-hmm. It was her daughter. And she was like, I just wanted to let you know that mom passed away this afternoon.
Oh.
And I literally, it was a reminder to, one, always call when you feel like you should call,
mm-hmm.
but also just the grief of not being able to say bye, mm-hmm. you know? And I felt like the last visit was saying bye,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know. I wanted to say bye to her,
right.
you know? And so I think losing a friend like that, but also just losing a friend, both are hard, you know, because mm-hmm. you've shared things with them. You've opened up to them. You've really been, they've been a big part of your life and vice mm-hmm. versa. And so in many ways, it's hard. It's very, very hard.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's for reasons that are strenuous or, mm-hmm. you know, confrontational, mm-hmm. it's still
painful.
Hard.
Yep.
It's still painful. I think that's been my experience, and particularly, you know, with my husband, and just to see it happening kind of in slow motion, but not really being able to stop it or do anything about it. It was like kind of grief in slow motion over arc of time.
Mm-hmm.
That, but then, you know, there are all those occasions when you find that friend and you're like, whew, God, I feel so much better. Okay. Is no grief involved. So it's a burden that's been lifted from your shoulder. And it's usually, you know, when that friendship has been one-sided, moving in one direction, mm-hmm. it's been zapping you. And then that friendship ends and it's just more of a relief.
I think that's a good point too, Cheryl. Yeah. Like when it's one-sided.
Yes.
You know, one-sided relationships make it a lot easier to transition, you know?
And
you still grieve them, but
they remove themselves sometimes too. Because sometimes those one-sided people, they're not getting the attention that they want anymore, they're not getting the things that they want anymore. So they'll see themselves out, and it'll be a blessing for mm-hmm. you that they're gone.
What did this, you know, social media influencer, she's kind of a Christian social media influencer, and she came up with this song during the pandemic, Blocking You is Blessing Me.
I love that.
Right. I think it's The Christy Show or something is the name of that influencer. blocking you is blessing me. Yes. So I've been blessed.
Yeah.
Okay. So you think you mad at me, girl, bye. Okay. So I'm this needs to close. But I will say that the things that usually are driver of needing to move on via a friendship, betrayal. Mm. And I've experienced that.
Mm. Me too.
Okay. Mm. Jealousy.
What happened to you?
Girl, okay, ain't enough time. Okay.
I think we got a little time.
We got a little time. Go on, tell it.
We need some alcohol too. Okay, so
A-C-K-A.
That's right.
H-A-L.
Alcohol. We need some alcohol to have that conversation. All right. Yeah. You know who you are. Period. So betrayal, jealousy.
Yeah.
You ever had a friend that want to be with you, be your friend, but jealous of you at the same time?
I've had someone cry in my face, tell me how spoiled I was. You don't deserve this.
Oh my God.
And you just got to think of, like, that person is coming from a hurt place. Hurt people. And
they about to get hurt.
Okay. Because my mom will come after you, okay? Don't
get hurt.
Oh, we know.
Yeah.
Because your mama don't play about you.
No. Mm-hmm. If there's one thing my mom don't play about, it is me and my brother. Mm-hmm. So I just will call my mom and I'll be like, Mom.
Girl, can you believe this child just did this X, Y, Z?
And it took me years to kind of process that, actually. Mm-hmm. Because I just was like, what is happening right now as it was happening? Mm-hmm. And like a family friend told me, like, you need to leave that girl alone. Mm-hmm. She was like, you can never rise if you are dragging people up to be with you. And she was like, you got to let go of that weight.
Absolutely.
And I was like,
100%. Wow. 100%.
Yep. How do you deal with it, though, in general terms? Like, what do you do when you discover a betrayal?
The old Cheryl?
Oh. Cheryl 1.0?
Cheryl 1.0 would just take the hit and just like, oh, I can't believe it happened, and not confront. Cheryl 2.0, you know, something about turning 50. Something about turning 50. You step into your grownness, okay? And you own it. Cheryl 2.0 would just have a conversation, like call it out. Mm-hmm. And that I'm not tolerating that.
Yeah.
Let's see what Cheryl 3.0 would do. Okay.
I fear to see what Cheryl 4.0 would do.
Annihilation. Okay.
Neutralize.
That's right. We're going to neutralize it. Okay. If you part corporate, part hippie, part comedian, part soul sister, I'm your girl. Oh. Come hook me up.
If you like thrifting, sometimes restaurants, a nice coffee, a sparkling wine, and aren't super tall so I can look up at you, hang out with me.
Hey, I'm super tall.
No, I was with people taller than you, Cheryl.
You liked me.
I was with people taller than you, Cheryl, last week, and I just felt like I was like down here and everyone was looking down at me. Oh. And I was like, I gotta wear a taller shoe. So you know what? Scratch that. If you are any beautiful height.
There you go.
And if you like pina coladas and thrifting.
You like pina colada.
And
singing in a rhyme.
Sparkling wine. Oh, be my friend.
Okay.
Oh, man.
What about you, Jennifer?
Okay.
You like telling dirty jokes.
If you like talking about sex and having sex and thinking about sex,
call you. I'm your girl. Okay.
Call Jennifer.
I'm just kidding. No, okay. Let me be serious. If you like talking about sex.
Right. She repeats the same line.
Let me be serious.
Now that she's serious.
Okay. No, but if you like adventure, you like traveling, and you like trying new things and love music and love dancing and just love sunshine, then I'm your friend.
Oh, I love I want all of that except the dancing. So do mine.
Really?
Mine is that one.
I like dancing.
And if you think about sex.
Yeah, that's a plus. That's a plus.
And that's
and with that, that's a wrap. For today's episode. If you like what you heard, subscribe, rate us on Apple Podcasts, and tune in every Friday for your dose of When Magic Happens. And follow us on Instagram at When Magic Happens Podcast. You can find me, Cheryl, looking for a friend. You can find me, Cheryl, on social media at... Okay, you can find me, Cheryl Jackson, on social media at Cheryl Jackson, and that's Cheryl with an E.
You can find me, Taylor Coward, on Instagram at Taylor Coward Online.
You can find me, Jennifer Shea Love Bowers, on Instagram at Being Shea Love.
When Magic Happens is a production of WBEZ Chicago and part of the NPR Podcast Network. Our truly magical producer is Brianna Garrett. Brendan Benezek is our executive producer. Tracy Brown is chief content officer. Engineering by the lovely Maria Lopez. See you all next week. Look, short men love tall women.
He's like, I just want to climb, Cheryl.
That's what he said.
cut the mic.
Oh, that's what he said.
I always learn something here.
Not the climbing.